Dans l'industrie de l'audio, de la vidéo, de l'éclairage et de la sonorisation professionnelle, l'équipe de Sonomusic est incontestablement la meilleure et constamment innovée depuis.
No boundaries. Feel alive.
De la vidéo, de l'éclairage et de la sonorisation professionnelle, l'équipe de Sonomusic est incontestablement la meilleure. Ayant constamment innové depuis 20 ans dans le domaine de la sonorisation des grands événements et grâce à son système dernier cri, constitué d'enceinte acoustique à la fine pointe de la technologie, Sonomusic vous offre une sonorisation puissante de grande envergure sur une longue portée. Pour la meilleure qualité de sonorisation possible à petite, moyenne et grande échelle, choisissez Sonomusic, le leader qui pense, innove et bâtit l'avenir de la sonorisation avec les nouvelles technologie. 3950 Jean Talon Est, coin 22e, proche de P9. Téléphone 514-723-6101.
Hey you. Come over here and listen.
Oh god, I'm so fucking wet. Yeah. Yeah. Like that. Like that. Oh, God.
You can't hear me.
I would love your cock to be inside me. Oh, fuck. Oh, God. I'm really gonna come. I'm really gonna come. Oh, God. I'm so fucking wet. Can you see how wet I am? Can you see how wet I am? Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Fuck. It's time for Audio Smut. It's time for Audio Smut. Smut, smut, smut.
Smut, smut, smut.
A queer, feminist, trans positive radio show about fucking in all its forms.
Four, five fingers.
Let's not beat around the bush. This show contains explicit sexual content. So turn the volume all the way up.
Oh, that was so hot. I'm gonna pee for you now. Are you ready? Yeah, you wanna watch me pee? Oh, yeah, I'm gonna pee, yeah.
Baby, come closer.
Audio Smut, where we whisper all the dirty little fantasies and secrets in your ears.
Baby, come closer.
I like to finger
I like fuck. It when it hurts a little. Sometimes I like it when it hurts a lot.
Thought about fucking them for ages.
I just want to hear you say,
and then I fuck me. It.
Over and over again.
The sound of you moaning drives me fucking crazy.
Fuck the gender, please.
Spank me. Spank me.
Push me up against the wall and stick your dildo inside of me.
Let's just talk dirty to
science fiction, fan fiction,
cyber sex,
role playing.
The taste of a sweaty girl in my mouth.
I love your scars and the way they look.
Put on your clothes.
When we're fucking.
Can I put on your lipstick?
All I can think about is your asshole. Kiss
Let's
my
play
neck
dress up.
And blow softly.
Nipple torture.
I love waking
Spread
up.
Spread your cheeks
next
wide
to you
for me
in bed.
And let me in.
You giggle.
Make me come. Make me scream. Make me listen.
Hello everyone, you're listening.
Dans l'industrie de l'audio, de la vidéo, de l'éclair.
Wow, sorry for that. Hello everyone, you're listening to Minuit, and this is Audio Smut on 90.3 FM CKUT,
We are June 7th, it's 6:04, and we are under a lot of smog in Montreal in a very dear catastrophic climate change catastrophe. And in this context, I'm very excited to bring a very vulnerable topic on the radio today. I feel really blessed to have a very special guest with me today. But before, I'd like to announce that this is my last show on the air of Audio Smut. It's been a very immense privilege and pleasure to be able to produce content and create spoken word and collect stories on very different topics for the last 4 years. Shout out to Jamie Ross, who's been leading this collective before me for 10 years before that, who introduced me to CKUT and to Audio Smut. Audio Smut is a radio show that's been on air since, I don't know, it's been more than 17 years now and has been founded by sex workers, so it's very a privilege to be in this heritage. And yeah, for my last show, I wanted to talk about something, I wanted to bring topics about intimacy and sexuality that are generative and create content, but about topics that are sometimes not easy. Sexuality can be, you know, expensive and joyous, and sometimes sexuality is less expensive and have different rhythm or just looks differently than what we see, in a mainstream context. And it's a topic that's very important for me because the topic is illness and sexuality. And it's a topic that's important for me because I've been diagnosed with endometriosis this year, and it's been a journey for the last 7 or 8 years. And now I'm on medication, which means that my relationship to pain and illness changed a lot. And I really hope that for everybody, even though there's like a lot of complicated question and to ask ourselves about the medical healthcare complex. But in order to talk about all this today, I'm very privileged and excited to present Sky and Lolo, and I'm going to let themselves introduce themselves today. So Sky, do you want to say a few words about yourself now?
Hard, sticky things sometimes. I think what I want to say in this context about myself is that I am a human learning, sometimes clumsily, how to love myself, how to love other people, how to live generatively in a changing world that's sometimes really scary, and how to be in community with people. Can you hear me?
Thank you. Lolo, can you introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Lolo. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we hear you.
Lolo is on Zoom right now, which is really exciting.
Yeah, I'm calling in from Zoom. I have just moved up to Chelsea, Quebec, where there's more access to water and trees, because that really helps my management of my illness. I am 32 years old. I'm of European descent. I've worked as an artist and a farmer and a graphic designer, and I now try to work as little as possible because the body does not love it or like it. All this to say, yeah, today we're talking about illness. So I have a diagnosis of PCOS, which doesn't seem to explain all of the ways that my body feels pain and confuses me consistently. And so I also suspect I have long COVID and or something with similar symptoms. And I'm happy to be here today because it's It's been a long time I've been able to engage with my Montreal pals since leaving town. Looking to find ways to manage my symptoms. Thanks, Danny and Sky.
Thank you, Lolo. Thank you for being on air with us. I'm going to let Sky introduce themselves again because maybe I think the mics were not exactly great.
Yeah, is this better now? Yeah. Well, we'll try it out again. What did I say? I am a human and I am, learning to love myself, learning to care for myself. Learning to move through a world that is ever and continually changing in sometimes fascinating and terrifying ways. And I'm learning to love the people around me and build community through connection, through intimacy, and through moments like this on air, through technology, seeing Lolo, even though you're really far away, or kind of far away.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Sky. I'm going to put on some music. We're going to listen to Ray Spoon singing about Come On Forest Fire, Burn the Disco Down, because it's very accurate right now. Hey, Montreal. And throughout the show, we're going to be listening to queer artists that identify as either ill or crip. So stay with us. Thank you.
I hear the call from the suburbs down to the plateau. The kids know how to stand. Cover your eyes with both hands, looking for a new song. Looking for a new song.
Excellent. I love Ray Spoon. So welcome back, everyone. We're listening to Audio Smut on CKUT 90.3 FM. And now I would like to start the topic with a question. And my question is a question that we've talked about, the three of us talking about what we wanted to talk, you know, because it's a topic that maybe when the things are still going on in your life, it's important to decide what you want to share or not on air, right? And I think something that feels exciting to talk about is just talking in general about what is your relationship to illness and intimacy now? What is it alive? How is it alive in your bodies at the moment? Is there any stories that you want to be sharing or that you want to be heard? I'm curious, Sky or Lolo, who wants to start?
I'm happy to jump in there. Well, the first thing I want to say is it is a vulnerable topic. And for me, questions of intimacy and relationship to my body with illness, it's always changing. I think that's part of the challenge and beauty of it. It's sort of a ongoing journey of discovery, sometimes in ways that are not always easy or in ways that I would like. But I do feel that these days I am sort of in a new phase of relationship to my body and to illness and to intimacy, being now, I'd say, like 8 years of sort of living with illness and about 4 with a diagnosis. So I have a diagnosis of Lyme disease. And, you know, just through learning and experiencing and just time, just time really leaves space for that growth and that change and that new relationship to emerge with my body. And I think when you have sort of extreme experiences, changing experiences of like pain, confusion, fatigue, strange things happening in your body, it's really hard to be intimate, both with myself and with other bodies or beings. It's an ongoing humbling journey, and recognizing that intimacy, care, connection, touch is actually so essential for health, for well-being, and just for being human. Like, we need it to survive. And also recognizing how difficult that is to access for a lot of sick and disabled people. It's so, so isolating, for so many reasons. Yeah, I think that's what I'll say for now.
Thanks, Kai. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely relate to the feeling of sometimes fighting or wanting to fight with your own body because mm-hmm. there's something that you know you need but actually doesn't feel good in the moment.
Yeah.
And trying to find ways to mitigate the pain that comes when you're trying to fill your other needs, you know, yeah. like... also wanting to belong in a world and a context where yeah. it's really centered around genital sex and pleasure in like mm-hmm. a very specific way of mm-hmm. expressing your sexuality and intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm curious, Lolo, how this lands for you. Like, what are your first thoughts when you hear the question?
Mm-hmm. Well, first off, I'm resonating with... talking about wanting touch and also having it feel like a very scary thing that, you know, inaccessible in the moment. And the isolating factor, which kind of brings me to where I am now, which is live on air discussing it, like talking about these things. Feels like where I'm at now, finding support with other folks who, you two, and some other people in my life who are going through similar things. And so being able to verbalize it and find some support there and do some meaning making around it so that I can maybe feel able to take steps towards re-engaging with touch. But it's been so long that I've just not felt able to. I guess it's just been 3 years for me, having had the experience of being in my body shift so drastically. And I started to be scared of touch and intimacy in a really big way, both scared of it and repulsed by it in many ways. And any romantic orientation and sexual orientation I had disappeared, where that was something that had directed a lot of my ways of being and acting and moving in the world before. So it's been really discombobulating, and feel like I have come to kind of find other ways to orient and feel into desire and attraction that aren't sexual. And that's given me some grounding to now start talking about and looking at this eros piece or sexuality piece and intimacy piece. But yeah, it feels like I'm kind of coming out of a cave of isolation, and so that's where I'm at now.
I really like how you're talking about meaning making, and I relate a lot with the sense of the fear that comes out of it, and then your nervous system and your body starts fearing the thing that it desires. And in my case, it kind of created a cercle vicieux, right? Where you're like trying to go forth, but there's so much blockages. So you're going forth with it in the way I did. And it still feels a bit like, ooh. And what I like about the idea of meaning making around it is that it can be really empowering to take back a creative control around telling stories and telling your stories and making, putting words and sensations together to, yeah, like reclaim your own relationship to your body in a way that might be different and don't need to be, I don't know, compared to who you used to be or how it used to be able to function or how other people used to be able to relate with it. And yeah, it's really hard to work with their cognitive filters, right? I'm going to put the music, which is called, is something that I discovered when I was doing research for this show. It's called, it's called Sick Bed by Colander, which is an artist who's creating music from their bed. So I thought it was an interesting way to continue the show. So let's listen to it now.
I called out a fucking bed and I always
So that was Sick Bed by Calendar. You're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM. It's Audio Smut. And this is Minuit. We're doing this show talking about illness and sexuality. It's 6:25 and I'm on air with Sky and Lolo. And to continue our very meaningful conversation, I would like to ask you now, open question, what do you feel changed in your relationship to sexuality? How is it different? And intimacy in general, how do you feel is different from other periods of your life? Or yeah, Sky, do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yeah, I'm hearing like three different pieces in there. There's sexuality, and for me, sensuality and sexuality are quite different, and intimacy. And I'd say in terms of sexuality, it's changed pretty drastically. From the time of a very young age, sex was always very easy, easy and fun way to connect with people, get to know people, have experiences. It was really like my primary way of making friends for a long time, is just like being in sexual interactions with people. And really also enjoying just bodies being together and exploring that. And then when I got sick, very suddenly, I could not be touched. It became very, very painful. I couldn't even wear, I think for probably like 3 years or 4 years, I didn't wear jeans because the texture was so intense on my skin. So suddenly I couldn't even be touched, and had absolutely no desire for anything sexual to happen because there was just so much going on in my body and I was so confused and just trying to figure that out. And then I'd say in terms of sensuality and speaking about the senses, I feel like there was sort of an opposite trajectory in many ways. I feel like younger me was a lot more sort of numbed out in my senses, and then the sick experience sort of turned my senses, and the sensitivity got very, very heightened. And so now I'm very sensitive to the sensual experience, like being outside and smelling the air or feeling the air on my face becomes an extreme experience. So also learning to manage all this new sensory information has been a big journey. And then in terms of intimacy, I'd say a lot of my intimacy, because of the isolation and living like through COVID and having to move back in with my parents and going through COVID on an island, a small island with my parents, I mean, extreme isolation, that I had to become very intimate with myself and my own inner landscape. And my own changing world. So I feel like I became very intimate with myself in whole new ways that I never actually even would have imagined. There's places within myself I found from illness that I think have expanded my capacity for intimacy with others because I had to go within, and I continued to do so. Mm. Yeah.
That's truly beautiful, Sky. Mm,
thanks. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Lolo?
Yeah. I'm relating so hard to your description of becoming more sensitive. That feels like a big thing that shifted in me too, is sounds got louder, sensations in my body got more intense. Like emotional and energetic shifts seemed to be also something I was so attuned to, and so yeah, it did feel like it felt almost like in those fantasy teens shows where someone develops a superpower and they like don't know how to use it yet, so they're like blasting fire everywhere, like trying to shut off their wrists. I was like, it felt like that, but with me having more information about everything I was interacting with, people and places and flavors, like, yeah. It's like I got the psychic superpower and was just like, oh my God, let it stop.
I'm laughing because I'm relating.
Yeah. And high levels of pain too. Like jeans, no, they're not comfy. They're not, I don't want them near me anymore. I had a lot of pelvic pain. So, and my hormones became dysregulated or changed in. My hormones changed, so I think my hormonal makeup felt more like I was maybe a combination of like a menopausal woman and or a prepubescent teen boy, and I just did not have a sex drive at all. And needed and wanted quite a bit of intimacy and care surrounding my body's healing. And so the intimacy I crave was just at a certain point when I decided to leave Montreal, I was just like, I need my mom. Mm-hmm. It's like, I needed really basic intimacy that was about eating together, sharing mundane details about a day, and like people I could just sit with without having to speak too much. Yeah, back to basics.
It's interesting what you say. I'm sure both of you can relate, but it makes me think about the relationship to the embodiment, like living inside your body. And I think the first years where I was feeling all that pain, like a part of me just needed to dissociate with it. It was too much information. It was too painful. So I tried to be in denial about it, and I changed basically nothing with my life. And I was like, well, I don't know what it is, but like, whatever. And eventually when it started waking me up in the night and like preventing me to sleep, that's when I started to do the investigation, because there's also like a chronic disease in my family that I thought maybe that could be it. And in the end, it was not it, but then being in the dark and being more tuned to those sensations, because I had started to investigate, I was like, I can't be in denial anymore. And that led me on a long journey of actually starting to learn to re-embody my body, because I just couldn't avoid these sensations anymore. I felt them, and that meant that I felt everything much more, and I inhibited my body more, which is a good thing, but also can be very exhausting when you're processing so many pain all the time. And yeah, it also, of course, have an impact on your whole psychic and emotional well-being, because your body is so occupied, busy processing these sensations and these feelings. And yeah, if I can share like briefly about my relationship, how it changed to like intimacy and sexuality, it's interesting because when my relationship to pain started shifting is when I started taking hormones for gender euphoria many years ago. And so at the time my libido was really high, like and it something shifted in my body and it started to reject that, and so I stopped really fast, and gradually I started having more and more pain. And it took me about a year and a half or 2 years to understand the relationship between the two. But eventually, yeah, it did shift in my relationship to sexuality, because then, yeah, it was not fun anymore, or then I would have fun and then I would like, there would be like a lot of consequences to pleasure. And through that, eventually, the main relationship I was in ended, and then my father died. So I just really had no desire for any kind of sexual experience at all. And all I wanted to do was to be cuddled by a parent. Absolutely. And
yeah, it's,
I relate to this really hard. And then it makes it hard because you're like, my nervous system is on fire. My body is in so much pain, like emotional and physical, because you're under a lot of emotional stress, and stress, your body flares up a lot. And you don't want to be touched by anyone who you don't have complete trust with, but you don't trust anyone anymore because you're afraid. And so you're just in that state of complete longing and deprivation. And you're just like, where is the community when I need someone to cuddle me at night? You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, I feel you.
Yeah. I feel that. I feel that a lot with the question of trust, and safety, the sense of safety in our bodies, which like has become so much more important for me. And the feelings of being vulnerable now in my body with other people is so extreme. And the need, really, I'm realizing, for in order for me to be able to be intimate and open myself and receive any kind of touch and care, I need to feel that sense of safety and trust. And the thing is that I really don't believe a lot of people hold the capacity to understand and be with these extreme somatic experiences. It's at least that's my sense, and it can be a lot to hold for people who have never experienced this or even understand and relate to, and that is necessary, I think, for me. And so there's sort of like where I before I felt like, oh, there's so many options, I can have so much fun and be with whatever, you know. Now all of a sudden I'm like, I don't want to be with anybody unless there's like an extreme level of safety and trust that's being built. And that takes time, and that takes effort and intentionality and awareness. And again, I'm not sure that everybody or just anybody wants to bring that to the table or the bedroom or the wherever, the couch, the grass. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. Hearing you say that, I started laughing because I was like, oh man, what would sex even look like for me now? It's like, it'd have to be someone who's down, who would be down to just like have a brief shoulder touch and then wait 20 minutes and be like,
yeah.
Whoa, that was intense.
Yeah.
You know, and be like, want to do another location? Like, how about kneecap, you know? Like,
yeah.
Honestly, it's like there's so much grief in that for me. Mm-hmm. And like, wow, like the possibilities just shrink from a ton, especially when you're queer and especially when you're trans. And at the same time, I don't know, it unlocks for me a level of trust in myself that is so much different, because I know better what actually is not just going to be an opportunity or like a chase for external, you know, when you're going for intimacy and sex for like other reasons and actually enjoying the pleasure. Now that the standards are higher for me, even if there's a lot of grief in that, I know that when I'm choosing to engage, it's because I'm really there for the right reasons, because the cost and the consequences of engaging in it are higher. And I'm not saying, I think having sex for any reasons, if you want to, is fine.
Definitely.
Like, it's, but for me, it shifted my relationship to my own intimacy, to myself, and to what kind of trust I can build with myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to now put on a song by Tony Aganaba. It's called It Ain't Easy. And yeah, it's someone who's being diagnosed with a chronic condition. And this song really touched me when I heard it. So I hope you enjoy it.
I sing this song to myself when things get tough. Stress. I'm taking back the reins. I refuse to do anything less. Got these haters on my back. Tell me what is up with that. Said I ain't trying to call.
So this is Minuit, and you're listening to Audio Smut on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's 6:43, and you're listening to a show about illness and sexuality. We are on air with Sky and Lolo, and we've been having a really tender and beautiful conversation. And we were saying during the song how beautiful it is to be able to connect and talk about this, because those experiences that are isolating in nature, it's hard to actually find the courage or like even the knowledge of like where to go to be able to share them or to hear the different kind of stories. And that's why the next question that I'd like to bring is a bit like, how can we bring seeds of creative, generative futures in those soils? And I'm curious, what are your playgrounds now? What are you curious about experimenting? Or what is, I don't know, like, what are you excited and curious for the visionable short-term future in your relationship to your body, intimacy, or sex in general? However you want to answer to that question.
Well, I think the first thing I'm going to say is, because we're talking about intimacy and how this feels intimate, there's, I believe it's Alice Wong, who's a disability justice activist and author, who talks about access intimacy and what happens when you come together with someone who shares your experience of disability or illness or whatever it is. And I think as, you know, queer and trans people, we can relate to that, you know, when you end up being in the same space with other people with the same experience, there are just things that do not need to be said. There are walls that can come down. There's like less emotional labor and explaining and educating about your experience. And so there's sort of like this automatic intimacy and depth that can be created. And for me, in terms of like what I'm feeling and seeing in my future, because I'm really, and where I want my playground to be, is I do feel ready to start opening up and being more in like the intimate sphere with other bodies and people. And I have decided, sorry, there's this person I'm chatting with, and she told me, she's like, yeah, you know, I've been prioritizing for the last several years crip for crip and sick for sick relationships, not just in like my dating life, but also in my friendship world. And she was like, I'm never going back. I was like, oh yeah, I think that's kind of where I'm orienting myself towards, is like, you know, I'm open to anything, and I feel like I want to prioritize those relationships in my life simply because they're, and I believe that, you know, when we are faced with limitations, like with our bodies, we actually need to get more creative in terms of how we have to break out of scripts, these scripts of how our bodies meet and how we find, you know, how we have sex or whatever. It's we have to be creative, you know, and I think that I'm interested really in my illness and all of the symptoms not being this thing that needs to be kind of like dealt with and forgot about so we can get to the good stuff, you know, that actually that can be part of the intimate sensual sexual experience. Like, it doesn't have to be dealt with, that it can just be integrated and maybe even played with. I don't know. I mean, we'll see, you know, experiences and opportunities open up to me, but that's really what I'm calling in, is like that creativity, and intimacy in crip for crip, sick for sick relationships. Yeah.
I love that. What about you, Lulu?
Yeah, I love that too. I am, where am I? What seeds am I planting? Having like a lot of little disparate thoughts of futures. Okay, one of these futures is involves, let me go back a bit. I'm also wanting to, at this point, and feeling able to at this point, move towards more touch, wanting to share touch with people and develop intimacy and develop new relationships. And I find I'm needing to take it very slowly. And that I orient towards folks who are sensitive and can have a longing for folks who can kind of navigate consent through co-sensing. Folks who kind of are deeply in tune with their bodies, and do have similar experiences. And who can develop that big base of trust that you both spoke to, feeling so important it is for me too. So, yeah. Like, I'm at a place where friendships that involve touch feels like a growing edge and feels exciting enough, sometimes a bit scary, and sometimes good and great and hope-giving and comforting. The other thing I have been thinking of as I've been ill is like wanting access to sexual somatic workers, practitioners, having that feel financially inaccessible, but having it also feel like a need and something I wish were more commonplace, because I speak to so many folks who have pelvic pain and illness related to pelvic health, and sex and sexuality feels so linked in with that, and it feels as though help in that department, like kind, soft help there would be so welcome. Seed planted.
Yeah.
It's interesting what you say about somatic sex workers. I realized for me that all my relationship to illness created so much blockages that I actually did consult last year as somatic sex educator. And we never went for anything, you know, that involved any kind of like touch, not like on arm or whatever, because I was so frightened. And honestly, realizing this was really important for me. And we worked on desire, expressing desire, consent, like really the basics. And I was a bit ashamed, honestly, because I was like, whoa, this is really like 101. And I thought I was this like sex person, like talking about sex on the radio and doing projects and all this stuff. But at the same time, things happen and you need to revisit the basics because your body is changing and your relationship to expressing what you want and what you desire changes. So I do think that being able to access to professionals can help you to guide you in your relationship to rediscovering your body and your pleasure is huge. It's so huge. I think it's really important work, and I'm really excited to see that this profession is expanding in general. And I share your intentions for wanting to have more touch or intimacy in my life. And it's interesting because I feel that I, you know, as I mentioned at the start of this emission, this radio show, I'm now taking hormones that kind of took out most of the symptoms of my pain, even though it's not going to be ever cured. And that's really new, but I kind of feel like I have phantom pain. You know, this kind of like frein, you know, this retenue that I'm kind of like, I need to be prudent is still there. And that's something that I need to engage with, but I don't want to engage in this pushing myself to be like, now it's time to have fun because you need to have fun because you blah blah blah. So I think it's exciting to hear you talk about what feels safe, what feels safe enough, what am I curious, what seems fun. I can take my time, and it's a privilege to open your access to your intimate, you know, to your intimate world, to your body, and it's sacred, and it's okay to wait that you can find people that you trust and respect that and are excited about that.
Yeah.
And like practicing communicating with other people again about what I'm feeling. Like, yeah, practicing the basics of consent again feels necessary. Thank you for saying that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel it too. Definitely. And from what you were saying, Danny, what stuck out to me was just that we can take our time. And I think that's a big piece of like Crip sick wisdom, is that time is, we're not on like capitalist normative time. We live outside of those timelines. We decide the timelines we want to work on and the rhythms that we want, and those can change and adapt, and that like we can take the time, and that we actually need to take the time.
Yeah, and it's a big knowledge to try to internalize and accept.
Yeah.
Right? To try to just accept as wisdom in like this world that we live in, that curb yours and fast and easy.
So fast, so easy. Yeah. It's like, can't be fast and easy for me. So
So it's already the end of the show. I'm curious if you have any burning thoughts or desires of things you'd like to express that needs to get out before we end today.
Happy last show.
Thank you, Lolo.
Yeah, what an honor to be here with you on your last show and talking about this.
Thank you so much, both of you, for your bravery, your courage to want to connect and talk about these things and to create meaning together. That was really special, and I'm really grateful.
Oh, yeah, thanks for making the space.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're going to end the show today. You're listening to Audio Smut on CKUT 90.3 FM. It's 6:56. And the last song that we're going to listen to today is a favorite artist of our two guests. It's called Let Us Dance by Beverly Glenn Copeland.
Everyone good?
Yep. Everybody's good? Bad Bunny.
You're listening to CKUT. The following is a previously broadcast program. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, friends and comrades, back to Amandla here at CQT 90.3 every Wednesday night on your dial with news, analysis and briefings from the continent of Africa that we don't think you'll find in the mainstream media. And for sure today, we know we have something very special. Gwen, what is on tap?
Yes, well, we're actually returning to, good evening, everybody. We're returning to a podcast by Diraja Press. So as you know, for those of you who listen to Amandla regularly, at the beginning of COVID, Feroz Manji of Diraja Press was producing a number of podcasts, activism in the time of COVID. And so we